理课堂听 class.com。
In sections B and C, you will hear everything once only. Listen carefully and then answer the questions that follow. Mark the correct answer to each question on your answer sheet. Section B, Conversation. Questions 1 to 5 are based on a conversation. At the end of the conversation, you will be given 10 seconds to answer each of the following questions. Now listen to the conversation.
Anyway, I felt pretty upset, I can tell you.
Well, something even worse happened to some friends of a colleague of mine in New York. The husband was on an extended business trip, and the idea was that his wife would come over in the middle of it to spend a long weekend with him. He was flying in from Boston, and the wife from Europe, and they were going to meet up on the Friday evening and stay the weekend together at one of those very big hotels near Central Park.
Yeah.
Well, the hotel computer had got the first letter of their name wrong. Their name began with a B. I think it was Berry, but it was spelt on the computer with a P. So the wife arrived at the hotel, gave her name, and asked, "Has my husband arrived yet?" And the reception clerk looked her up on the computer and said, "No, not yet." And so she said she'd wait in their room, and she was shown to the room. Well...Then, about half an hour later, the husband arrived and gave his name and spelt it out carefully to the reception clerk and asked, "Has my wife arrived yet?" And she looked up the name on the computer and said, "No, not yet." So he said he'd wait in the room and the clerk promised to send his wife up to him when she arrived. And he was shown up to a different room. So he turned on the TV and started waiting.
Oh.
Well...They both waited for a couple of hours, and then the wife called reception, was told her husband still hadn't arrived, so she went down to the restaurant and had a meal, and then, being tired, you know, she went to bed. The husband was now quite hungry, so, after calling reception and being told his wife still hadn't arrived, he went down to have his dinner, and then went to bed. Well, the next day they narrowly missed each other at breakfast,So they decided there was no point in sitting around waiting. So they both went out shopping or sightseeing, missed each other again that evening, and didn't finally meet up again till the next afternoon. By this time, the husband had to fly off to Washington for a meeting first thing on Monday.
Oh, that's amazing. It's always strange in a new city. I remember once I was going to a conference in Norway.I landed at Oslo Airport, and as I didn't know the city, I picked up a whole lot of leaflets and a street map at the airport before catching the bus into town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the leaflets was quite fat, about 100 pages long, and it was called Where to Eat in Oslo. So I started looking at it to find a nice restaurant to go to that evening. I always prefer to eat out rather than in my hotel.
Yeah.
And soon I realized that the same restaurant was being described again.I looked all the way through the leaflet, and every page was a description of the same restaurant. There were no others in there. 100 pages, all about the same restaurant.
Oh, what was the name of the restaurant?
I can't remember.
Oh, that reminds me of something. A colleague of mine was in Sweden. He was at the end of a tough series of meetings in Stockholm and about to fly back home to London.Well, he checked his suitcase in and went through to the departure lounge, had a drink and caught his plane back to Heathrow. Unfortunately, the check-in clerk had put the wrong label on his case, and it had the tag for a different flight on it.
So he went to London and his luggage went somewhere else?
No, 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 no. Worse than that. They did a security check on all the luggage that was being loaded on to the other flight.And found that there was no passenger name to match that particular suitcase. So they very carefully took the case off to the far corner of the airport and the security police blew it up.
Ah.
Luckily, it only contained dirty clothes and a toothbrush and stuff like that. And he got fully compensated by the airline.
I remember my boss telling me about something that happened a few years ago when he was somewhere in the Far East anyway. There was a long delay at the airport... So they all settled down for a long wait, feeling reassured that they weren't having to fly in a faulty plane.
Yeah.
2 hours later, there was another announcement. We have found a new plane, but the new plane is more sick than the first one, so we will take the first one. And they were all escorted to the first plane, and it took off, but they all felt very nervous, and everyone started knocking back the gin and whiskey. Anyway, eventually they arrived at their destination, and by this time everyone had managed to forget that the plane was sick, but instead of landing, the plane kept circling round and round and round. Everyone started to get worried again, and then a man in uniform came out of the little door leading to the flight deck with a screwdriver. He walked halfway down the aisle, stopped, and lifted up the carpet. Then he raised a metal flap and reached inside with the screwdriver. There was a loud click, and then they heard the landing gear going down. The man in uniform went back to the flight deck. The plane made its final approach and landed safely. As they all came down the steps, he said you could literally see everyone still shaking with fear.
Section C, News Broadcast. Questions 6 to 8 are based on the following news. At the end of the news item, you will be given 30 seconds to answer the questions. Now listen to the news. The Clinton administration is warning of dire consequences if the U.S. Congress refuses to release the money that the U.S. owes the UN. UN Ambassador Bill Richardson made an urgent appeal to members of a House subcommittee responsible for all spending bills dealing with international organizations. About 30 UN member countries are currently without voting privileges because they owe the world body an amount equal to twice their annual assessment for dues, peacekeeping and other expenses. The US is not yet in that category, but Ambassador Richardson says if nothing is done by the end of the year, America could be put in a very embarrassing and troublesome position. We would lose our vote as of January 1, 1999. Nations in arrears to the UN usually avoid such a situation by making at least a partial payment. But the White House and congressional Republicans remain sharply divided on this issue, and there is no settlement in sight. The Clinton administration has been urging the legislature to approve $921 million to clear the debt. Legislation to at least significantly reduce the arrears is pending in Congress, but these bills contain conditions unacceptable to the White House. Questions 9 and 10 are based on the following news. At the end of the news item, you will be given 20 seconds to answer the questions. Now listen to the news.
The choices that President Bill Clinton now faces in trying to head off North Korea's nuclear weapons capability are the most agonizing an American president has faced in recent memory, even more than the 1991 Iraq crisis. The frustrations for this president are evident. He came into office pledging to concentrate on domestic policy. Yet this very disparagement of national security issues may be tempting troublemakers and making foreign challenges more likely. He clearly prefers to work through organizations such as the UN and International Atomic Energy Agency. Yet the impotence of those institutions in the face of North Korean defiance is the starting point of today's problem. Both action and inaction are fraught with dangers. Clinton yearns to resolve the dispute by political means, but the persuasiveness of his diplomatic positions may depend on whether he is thought to have coercive means available. His determination to block a North Korean nuclear bomb has escalated rhetorically, even before it is clear he has a strategy that will accomplish this objective. Thank you.
This is the end of listening comprehension. Please proceed to the next part. Sample Test 7, Part 1, Listening Comprehension, Section A, Mini Lecture. In this section, you will hear a mini lecture. You will hear the lecture only once. While listening, take notes on the important points. Your notes will not be marked, but you will need them to complete a gap-filling task on Answer Sheet 1 after the mini lecture. Use the blank sheet for note-taking. Now listen to the mini-lecture.
Culture shock. Good morning. The topic for today's lecture is culture shock. Culture shock is that experience, often a somewhat painful experience, that we have when we go from our home country to another country. Particularly for the first time that we've gone overseas. We grow up in our home culture. We are very, very familiar with it. Now, suddenly, as we get ready to go off to another country, we are going to encounter many new things. And we'll react in some very strange ways. This is what we call culture shock. Let's talk about some phases or stages of culture shock. I'm going to talk about 5 stages. The first one is sensory overload. When we first arrive in the new country, we are going to see many new things, new and different from what we are accustomed to. The landscape may look different. The building may look different. The people may look different. The behavior of people may look different. The vehicles that we see may be different. So many new things that kind of exciting to us. And we just take in a lot of new stimuli until we are just saturated with it after a couple of days. That's what we call sensory overload. Another phase is one of helplessness. Before long, we are going to find that there are more and more things that we cannot do very easily. Whether it's in shopping or are going to be areas where we're going to feel helpless, much like a child that's learning about life. New things back in the home country, but need an adult to help him through it. We're going to feel isolated. Thirdly, at times when we can't communicate effectively, we're just not getting through to people. Or maybe people aren't caring enough about us, or we may think they aren't caring enough about us. And we will feel isolated. Fourthly, we may become depressed at times, particularly at the time of holidays. That's always a time that we want to feel good. We think about our family. We think about our friends. And here we are in a strange land. We don't have our family and friends, and get depressed. And fifthly, one of the things that happens is that as we run into more and more obstacles, more and more frustrations in the new country, we start thinking about the old country where we came from and how good things were there, how smoothly everything went. Okay, those are 5 of the phases, then, of culture shock. Now we'll turn our attention to some areas of life that can cause culture shock. One of them is the arrival itself. When we arrive in the new country, we see so many new things, and that's shocking to us. We're not accustomed to it. Secondly, the greetings. We're accustomed to certain greetings in our homeland. For example, we may have the expression that says something like, "How much money do you make?" Very common expression. But suddenly, if you use the same expression for greeting in the new country, we may get a very negative response. because a person may think we are prying into their personal business. And we're shocked by that. We don't expect it, don't understand it. Thirdly, we notice that physical contact in the new land may be quite different. We may be shocked to find that in the new country, women and men have much more physical contact with each other in public than we're accustomed to. And we're shocked by it. This adds more to our culture shock. Fourthly, we may find that people require more or less personal space between them than we're accustomed to. We may find that as we're talking with somebody, that person will be backing away from us as we're talking. Or a person may be moving in on you, towards you, and you don't understand why. That can be a shock to the system as well. Fifthly, the area of language. It's going to be a difficult one. If you are in a country that speaks a different language, you are struggling to learn more words to understand, particularly in the classroom. You're trying hard to get the information so you can pass the test, and you have an instructor that just keeps speaking in a very rapid rate. So you have a particularly hard time, very frustrating, which adds again to the culture shock. Finally, the area of life that can cause culture shock is the area of foods. Food is a very emotional part of our life. We are familiar with certain goods that are our favourites, for now we are in a new land, where our foods may not be available, or they're prepared differently. Again, very shocking to us. So, what we experience in a new country may be painful for the time being, but after we have gone through this process, we will find we have learned many things and have achieved a kind of flexibility. Now, we can feel at home anywhere in the world. Thank you very much.
Now you have 2 minutes to check your notes and then complete the gap-filling task on answer sheet 1 in 10 minutes. In sections B and C, you will hear everything once only. Listen carefully and then answer the questions that follow. Mark the correct answer to each question on your answer sheet. Section B, conversation. Questions 1 to 5 are based on a conversation. At the end of the conversation, you will be given 10 seconds to answer each of the following questions. Now listen to the conversation. Good morning, sir. Can I help you?
I want to make inquiries about leaving my car with you. You see, I'm going abroad. I don't want to take the car, but I'll need it when I get back.
I see, sir. Well, we can offer you full parking facilities for as long as you wish.
Good. I'm going to Athens for about a couple of weeks.
Right. So how long do you want to leave the car with us?
Well, I'm flying to Athens on the 5th and coming back on the 19th. That's 14 days, isn't it?
That works out at 15 days parking, sir. Let me show you our scale of charges. We have a minimum fee of £6.50, but for 15 days it would cost you £24.75.
It says £23.10 here.
No, sir, that's for 14 days. If you're going to be away for 14 nights, you wouldn't be picking up the car for 15 days.
15 it is then.
Now, if you'll just come this way, sir, we'll complete the booking form. Could I have your name?
Brown, Donald Brown.
And the make of car, sir?
Just a Mini Metro.
Mini Metro. And the colour? We get rather a lot of Mini Metros.
It's sort of a greenish grey. I suppose you'd call it green, really.
Green. What's the registration number?
Oh, KTY630Y.
And your car key number?
I say, is this all really necessary?
Afraid so, sir. Security, you see.
All right. It's FL243.
FL243.
Look here. This isn't going to take longer, is it?
Only another minute or so, sir. Your departure date is May 5th, I think you said.
Yes, the 5th. That's a Friday.
Friday, 5th May. Now, what time is your flight, sir?
10 to 12, I think, but I'll have to check in about half an hour beforehand.
Well, we like customers to check their cars in here at least 20 minutes before check-in time. We have a minibus to take you to the airport. It's only about 10 minutes' drive.
So I ought to be here about 11:10.
Well, it's safer before that. We do get very busy. And you're returning on the 19th?
Yes, that's right.
And how would you like to pay, sir?
Oh, by cheque. Who do I make it out to?
Gatwick Parking Limited.
And it's £24.75.
That's right, sir. I'll just give you a receipt.
Don't bother, I can't wait. There's a traffic warden coming down the street and I'm parked on a double yellow line.
Section C, News Broadcast. Question 6 is based on the following news. At the end of the news items, you will be given 10 seconds to answer the question. Now listen to the news. The United States Defense Department says genetic testing has identified the human remains found in the wreckage of a U.S. Air Force jet that was missing on a training flight nearly a month ago. A Defense Department statement said the remains are identified as belonging to the pilot flying the A-10 jet which left the training formation and disappeared in circumstances which have still not been established. The wreckage of the aircraft, which was armed with bombs, was found last week in Snell in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Questions 7 and 8 are based on the following news. At the end of the news item, you will be given 20 seconds to answer the questions. Now listen to the news.
The three American officials arrived at an airport to the west of Baghdad on the special UN flight from Bahrain. According to diplomats, they were promptly and politely asked by the Iraqis to turn back. So they boarded the same aircraft and returned to Bahrain. It was repetition of what happened last Thursday, when two American arms inspectors were sent back from the same airport. That was the day after Baghdad gave all Americans working with the UN inspection team a week to leave the country. This latest incident makes it clear that Baghdad has turned a deaf ear to diplomatic appeals from sympathetic outside parties to back down from its current course and allow the UN inspection team to operate unimpeded. Russia, France, Egypt, and others who are keen to avoid another crisis have been trying to persuade Iraq that they've made a mistake by challenging the Security Council in this way. The state-run Iraqi press has continued to signal defiance on the part of the Baghdad leadership.
Questions 9 and 10 are based on the following news. At the end of the news items, you will be given 20 seconds to answer the questions. Now listen to the news.
President Clinton has met at the White House with British author Salman Rushdie, who has been under a death sentence issued by Iran for his book, The Satanic Verses. White House officials confirm the president met briefly with Mr. Rushdie Wednesday. It was their first such meeting. A White House official, who was asked not to be identified, said the Indian-born author spent just under an hour here. He said U.S. officials assured Mr. Rushdie the administration supports freedom of expression, and he reiterated the U.S. call for Iran to lift its death edict against Mr. Rushdie. At the same time, the U.S. official pointed out the U.S. call on Iran should not be misinterpreted as opposition to Islam, but opposition to intolerance and state-supported murder. Mr. Rushdie has been in hiding for 4 years, but appeared unexpectedly at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology to receive an honorary post as visiting professor of the humanities. Iran has charged satanic verses as blasphemous.
This is the end of listening comprehension. Please proceed to the next part.
Bye.